Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to sexual assault, sexual content, human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
Better sharpen your pencils, because we're about to take you to school. I'm Adam.
An apple a day keeps the doctor away, but don't touch the coffee. I'm Kelly.
A hammer to the head is worth two knives to the chest. I'm Sean.
According to what this says, that girl may have been a masochist? I'm Andy, and this is Acid Pop. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Acid Pop. Today we're talking about schools and teachers and students. I mean, the whole school thing.
I've been one of those.
You've been a school?
Yeah.
Sean was born in a small school, a kindergarten, if you will.
I met Mrs. What's-Her-Face, and she turned me into a bus. Was it Frazzle?
Miss Frizzle?
Frizzle.
Yeah, Frizzle. There you go.
I got a couple fears here. There's pedagophobia.
So pedo, that's child. Go, you know, is
leaving.
School. Child school fear.
It's the fear of teachers. Pedagophobia.
Interesting.
Pedant.
And then I have this one that I'm absolutely going to butcher.
Well, don't do it on purpose.
Didescalinophobia.
So you lean on a desk.
Didescalinophobia.
Didescalinophobia. The fear of chalkboards.
It is the fear of going to school.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we're going to start as we
so
always
like,
do.
If I was already at school, I'd be fine?
Maybe it's just the fear of getting there.
Maybe it's like mostly a fear of school buses. Leads into public transport.
Oh, I have a fear of the carpool lane. Okay, so we're going to go into our pop quiz, and we'll start with true false.
False.
Oh, Adam was right.
Oh, I guess we're doing fill in the blank then.
True or false? 50% of all teachers quit within the first 5 years.
I'm going to say true. It's
yeah,
pretty rough.
I'm going to say true as well.
50's high. I'm going to say false.
It is false. That number is based on a study that was done a long time ago where the guy basically followed people for a year and then didn't follow up with them. He's like, did they leave? No. Okay, bye.
So you're saying it is true in that study?
Well, it's the first 5 years.
Okay.
He checked up on them on the first year. He's like, are you still there? Okay. No or yes? Good. Bye. It's 17%. And that number is higher in urban areas.
Oh, 17's not that bad, actually.
It's not.
Yeah, considering we both thought it was 50.
Yeah.
True or false? Over 100,000 students are expelled every year.
Oh.
I'm going to say that one's true.
I heard this one earlier.
In the world or in the U.S.?
In the United States.
Expelled. Man, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever even known someone to get expelled.
See, that's the thing is, I was thinking the same thing earlier when he was mentioning some of the stats he was going to put in here.
Yeah.
I don't think that ever happened, like, hardly at all in the schools we were in.
Yeah. I'm going to say false.
False.
Kelly was right. It is true.
Ha!
How come
I knew
the
so bad
much
kids.
More educated than us.
With a majority of them being male, 76,000.
Wow, that is a majority.
And then the most being African-American, and then only 600 behind them are the Caucasians.
Wow.
As I understand it, there's a huge disparity for punishment for the same crime between races.
Well, it's nice to know that Hispanics and Asians don't get expelled.
They do.
Ever.
It's just a very, like, the Hispanic is at 22,000. Asians are at 1,800.
Oh, okay. Well, I know what I want to be when I grow up.
I don't think they can teach you that.
How much does it pay?
Quite a bit. True or false? 57% of children are offered drugs while at school.
Honestly, that sounds...
Say 50? Well,
57. Yeah,
that's a pretty precise number, but it does sound low to me. But I'm going to say true.
That's too strange a number for Andy to have just made up. 58.9%. I'm going to say... I've been following Sean on all these, and Kelly's been ruining us. What are you going to say, Kelly?
I'm going to say false. I was never offered drugs at school.
I will also say false.
Sean is the one that is wrong.
Oh, yay.
Of children polled last year, only 23% have been offered drugs while at school.
Clearly, I'm a pessimist when it comes to our educational system.
And I'm a follower.
Yeah, so am I, and I'm getting into that system. The very same system. Now we have our fill in the blank. So how many students drop out of high school every year?
I have to give you a number?
You have to give me
a
number.
More than 100. No, that was expelled. Well,
I'm going to say 30,000.
Ah, oh, man, it's got to be more than that are expelled. So I'm going to say 250,000.
I think it's higher still. I mean, in Chicago, isn't the rate of graduation like 50% or something?
Yeah, I think it was 75.
You also have to take into account the kids that were going to get expelled, but then they say, you can't expel me, I quit.
I'm going to say 500,000.
You are all wrong by a... Kelly was closest by a power of two. 1.2 million wow. High school students in America drop out of high school every year.
Are we trying to be sad with this quiz, Andy?
A little bit. How many children say that they are bullied at school? What percentage?
30.
Sean says 30.
I'm going to say 31.
Oh, Price is Right rules.
I think it's much higher. I'm going to say 60.
Kelly's closest without going over. 77% of children say that they have been bullied at school by either children or teachers.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, say I if you haven't been bullied. All right. So we've got 100%. So.
Oh, no. I want to know which state has the most kids that are suspended per year.
Ooh. Alabama.
I'm just going to go with population density and say California.
Texas.
Alrighty. Sean got it right with California.
Oh, wow.
Woohoo!
Next highest is Florida, and then Texas was close behind that.
That's because Florida is the California of the East.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's the three most populous states, so that makes sense.
The lowest, of course, is Wyoming.
Really? Not Alaska?
Not Alaska?
No, Alaska's at like 8,000, Wyoming's at 2,600.
Wow.
I almost expected to be Utah.
Now, and then I have a couple terms for you guys. What is aphebophilia?
That is an attraction towards a teacher.
Yeah, it's aphilia. It's attraction. It's aphilia. Yeah.
Or blackboards. Is it blackboards? Just give me a signal.
I'm going to say it's attraction to bumper cars.
It is?
I'm going to go with Adam. Not attraction to Adam, but attraction.
Yeah, it's attraction to Adam.
Wow.
They had to make a term for it. It's so widespread.
Sweeping the nation.
Aphebophilia is a primary sexual interest in mid to late adolescence.
Weird.
Mm.
So in the 14, 15.
Attraction to young teens.
It's weird that there's a term for that specific age group.
Well,
that occurred to me, but I didn't want to guess it because it made me sad.
The other term that I have is another fear.
And that last one was aphilia.
Sophophobia.
Sopho.
Sophophobia.
Fear of sophomores.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting
what
close.
What does sopho mean? Second? Second fear grade. Of moving up a grade.
That would be an interesting fear.
Yeah.
Kelly?
Oh.
Fear of talking.
Fear of teachers?
It is the fear of learning.
Oh. Ooh.
And the reason I picked it is because the common cause of sophophobia is the belief that learning causes lack of success in life.
Huh. Really?
Well,
the more I learn, just look at the our less president. Well I'll do. Because, you know.
Interesting.
As you do.
Well, I can say that I never want to go to school again, but I don't know that I have a fear of learning.
But you'll never do good if you learn.
Like, that's a really tough fear to avoid, I would think. Like,
yeah.
When you meet a stranger, you learn their name, or when you get the directions for some place to go.
Just run around with your fingers in your ears.
Yeah, just imagine them opening up an IKEA box and just being like, no, and throwing it out the window.
I won't, never again.
Just a whole bunch of stacks of planks in Sean's house.
Just sort of rudimentally put together.
I made myself a shelf. Sean, that's a desk. I don't even know how you did that with the oomph kit.
Her doll.
Now, we're going to avoid most of the sex stuff for this teacher thing.
Thanks.
But this
is so sexy.
Well, and you
mean I wore the schoolgirl outfit for nothing?
I mean, I appreciate it.
I'm glad someone noticed.
Kelly.
Sean keeps on basic instincting us.
Creek.
But I do have, I picked the most recent, most impressive case of teachers sleeping with students. Surprisingly, I cannot find that many cases that are reported of men sleeping with female students.
Yeah, you know, honestly, in the last, you know, since social media has really become a thing, I feel like there's been lots and lots of stories of teachers sleeping with their students, and I have yet to see one that was a male.
The only reason that I could find on the internet is that the male students that sleep with female teachers are more likely to brag about it, and that's how the teachers get caught.
That makes sense.
The girls are caught by the shame.
They know that snitches get stitches, and the teachers lose their jobs and go to jail.
An Arkansas high school teacher, 25, slept with 14 boys, two in the same night.
How old were the teens?
You know, it doesn't say, and it doesn't have names, thankfully.
It's not important, Sean.
But well, Jesse Goline would text students. She gave all the students her number in case they needed stuff, and they gave all of her their numbers. And the students that she liked, she'd text, like, how's your homework going? And then they'd eventually get more and more sexual in nature until she'd start sending nude pictures of herself to them.
That's tricky. Yeah.
She texted things like, you look very good in class.
Thanks.
And the night that she did the two, she rented out a hotel room, did the one, drove him home, and then picked up another kid and went back to the hotel room because she still had it.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't want to be wasteful.
I was gonna say, got that thing until 11 a.m. You got to get your money's worth.
Fiscally responsible, I guess.
When finally caught, she said, I'm not going to lose my husband, but then added, we had sex.
Wait, with a husband?
Well, but that's the only sex thing we're doing.
All right.
Is she in prison now?
She's going to jail for 20 years.
Wow.
Oh, good.
Wow.
5 years for each count of a, they called it sexual battery. That's what the charge was. I thought it was statutory rape, but sexual battery, which makes, I need to recharge mine every once in a while.
I was going to say, like, if somebody calls her battery, that could be a compliment.
Maybe you really charge my sexual battery. And before we get into stuff that teachers did to students, yeah, and you know, there's not a lot of stories about the stuff that students did to teachers, unless it's a major, like, school shooting or something, which I didn't want to get into either. That's another.
Sure.
I found this thing where teachers were telling the stories about their worst students ever. Here's the headline. Heartless students mock their teacher for having a miscarriage.
Wow. God.
This teacher had a miscarriage stillborn after being pregnant. When she came back from that experience, because she had to take time off, of course, she found a baby doll with a noose around its neck on her desk.
Jesus.
She left and never came back.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Kids have a unique ability to not foresee consequences or other people's emotions.
But I was thinking, what grade would this have happened in that other kids wouldn't have stopped that?
Middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be my first
middle
guess.
Middle schoolers are evil.
Middle schoolers
are. I mean, nowadays I would probably stop that. But when I was a kid, I probably would have just been like, well, I'm just going to turn my back to all of this and pretend I didn't see anything.
Yeah.
F's for all of you.
I like to think I would have done that, but the kids who would have done something like that, I would have been scared of.
Yeah.
So that would have been I'd have probably gone to the corner and be like, I'm just over here.
Just do what you want.
Student poisons her unsuspecting teacher.
Was it an apple? Please tell me it was an apple.
It was not an apple. That would have been pretty good. I was in middle school. A girl slipped rat poison into the teacher's coffee when she was out of the room.
Rat poison?
Rat poison. The girl was expelled after a few people in the class admitted to her putting the poison in there. The ones that came forward were suspending for not telling the teacher that there was rat poison in there.
That's fair.
I hope she was expelled like straight into jail. Like she just walked out one door and into the other.
Yep. Says that she was 12, so there wasn't much punishment, but she was expelled.
There's juvie. You can go to juvie.
There is juvie.
I don't know if I want to meet the teacher that does expect like poisonings.
Yeah, I was saying, how did the teacher find out? Or I guess probably the other students told her before they drank it.
No, they didn't. That's why they were expelled.
Yeah, that's why they were. Yeah,
she drank the poison.
She probably got very sick.
Oh, okay. She went home and played with her pet rat and it died.
I like this one. A teacher got locked in a cabinet.
Duh.
This man says, one of my coworkers was reaching into a supply cabinet when a few students came up behind him, shoved it into a cabinet, and locked it with a padlock. Jeez. Between the cabinet handles. He sat there yelling and banging to be let out. The students laughed, the bell rang, and they left him there for the next class. The thing is that the next class comes in, hears him in there, laughs at him, and then starts worrying that they might get in trouble, but they don't want to go tell the principal that somebody's locked this guy in a cabinet, so they left him there too.
Wow. Then the janitor came in that night and said, I don't want to have anything to do with this.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble either.
He was discovered by the janitor at night. It says he showed up for work the next day, and like the kids
next
that locked
day?
Him in there couldn't. Yeah. No, the janitor got him at night. The guy shows up the next day and tries to tell the principal, like, these kids locked me in a cabinet. I was like, oh, it's just a prank.
It said well, he also was my chiropractor like a bill then.
It says he was always a mediocre teacher, but after that, he was just the bare minimum to avoid being fired.
I can't blame him for that, especially when the principal did nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like he walked around the school with his back pressed to a wall every hour of the day.
And I like this one from middle school. It's called An Awful Christmas Wish. Oh, no, it's from a community college. Shit. Overheard this in a community college. After returning from Christmas break, the teacher says, "How was your break?" The student goes, "Well, I didn't get my Christmas wish." The student goes, "Oh," the teacher goes, what was your Christmas wish?" The student said, "That you died and didn't come back."
Well, at least there was no rat poison involved.
Yeah, at least she didn't.
Less dangerous.
She didn't just go for it.
It's like all those traps I set. It was like Home Alone in your place, and you just pranced through
you
it.
You missed all of them.
I mean, Joe Pesci's in the hospital, but...
Yeah, really kicked the hell out of the burglars that were in my house.
So those are the things that students do to kind of drive teachers nuts. And I've seen stuff firsthand where kids aren't that bad, but they certainly punch and kick.
Children are cruel.
Yeah. But here I have some stories about killer teachers.
They were so awesome.
What a killer teacher. Our first story is from Zitho Kozize High School in Durban, South Africa.
Okay.
Now, the students were told that they were going to be going on a field trip, and they were told that the field trip cost $1.60.
That's a bargain.
We charged them to kill them?
Later on, they found out that the field trip only cost $1.30, so all of them wanted their 30 cents back.
Oh.
When they weren't given their 30 cents, they went out and started throwing rocks at the principal's car.
So they went after the principal after this, not the teacher?
When the teachers and principal were like, "Oh God, the students are revolting. We have to lock ourselves in the library."
So this is ramping up more and more exponentially.
So when they saw the principal and the teachers go into the library, they started throwing rocks at the library windows.
It's becoming like an assault on precinct 13 sort of thing.
That is when the principal and the teacher pulled out their guns and started firing on the students.
What? It's them or us.
Hostilities a little fast.
It turns out they can throw rocks up as well as across.
Get them.
We shouldn't have taught them geometry.
This killed one student and injured two others. The principal and teacher were arrested, but then the education department was like, "Nah, that was self-defense."
I mean, it would be very scary to have all of the student body throwing rocks at you.
Just give them the 30 cents back.
I don't think at that point throwing 30 cents at them is going to do anything.
Here's a whole dollar, damn.
Throwing rolls of coins at them back at.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, self-defense, I feel like that should be, like, an appropriate response, you know? If someone pushes you, you don't pull out a knife and be like, "Oh, it was all I could do. I had to protect myself."
Yeah, but there's no rocks in the library, just guns.
There's lots of
and
books. Yeah.
Hardcover books hurt.
Yeah.
Our next story is the story of Yu Hagino from Kyoto in Japan. He was a 23-year-old part-time teacher who had a student, Sayano Horimoto, removed from his class because the parents didn't like him, and the student was openly mocking him in class. Upon hearing that, he got pretty angry and went and bought two kitchen knives and a hammer.
Okay, let's see where he's going with this.
So I'm going to make a little mobile in my room and think about how...
Yeah, my hammer mobile.
Bob Vila showed me how to make a really kicking cabinet last night.
It'll take the edge off all this stress.
Now, this is just a week after he bought the hammer and two kitchen knives. He gets the girl alone and tries to bash her with the hammer.
Jeez.
When that didn't work, he took out his 1-foot kitchen knives and stabbed her 13 times.
Wow.
Is she immune to hammers?
Maybe it just didn't, like, maybe he accidentally threw the hammer across her. I'm like, yeah.
The hammer. It wasn't very effective.
Maybe he was just trying to stab. He's like, crap, this hammer's not doing anything.
I don't understand how hammers work.
Be a good reason to mock him in class.
Kelly, that's how this whole thing started.
Directly after he finished stabbing her, he called the father and told him,
"I'll show you how hammers work."
It's like, "I just murdered your daughter. Ha 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 ha. Neener, neener." 15 years in prison.
15? So, well, I mean, it's different judicial systems, but that means you go to jail for longer for having sex with students than killing them. Keep that in mind, Andy, as you move forward with your career.
Yeah, just weigh the options.
Yes, the sex killings.
I think it's quantity.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, so many years per killing.
Yeah, we need to figure out the exchange rate between kills and sex.
Let's
I'm telling
not.
You, if you do a sex thing.
I mean, I'm not going to. I'm sure there's a website or something. I'm second thought, I don't want to go to that website.
Good.
I have a final one here, the case of Violet John Burling.
The picture that's at the top of this article really makes me question what you're about to say.
An accordion teacher, Adam.
Okay.
Weird Al Yankovic.
His name was Violet?
Her name is Violet.
Her name is, her middle name's John?
Violet John, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Girls can be named John Sean.
I guess. Johnina.
Now, Violet John took in a 10-year-old student, Catherine Frances Erickson, called the police and said, oh my God, she's not breathing.
Was okay. She like standing in the room when he made this call?
Yes. When the police arrived, they found that the girl was dead, but she was also tied to a chair.
Okay.
by her own accordion strap.
Oh.
Accordion?
She's an accordion teacher.
Oh, I thought that was a joke.
No.
Okay. That's a long accordion strap.
Said that, yeah, well.
Tight tie.
She likes to hang it all the way down like Slash.
Yeah, she plays it with her feet.
Violet said that when she awoke, she heard the girl crying, went in and said, oh my God, why are you bound to a chair? And the girl said, oh, I like to do this to myself. I'm a masochist.
That's right, a story checks out so far.
Hell of a dexterity to tie yourself up.
Now, when asked why the girl was in their home, it's like, oh, her parents fell on hard times, so they boarded her up with me so she could learn accordion full time.
It's like, we need to get our daughter a career that'll make lots of money. She'll become an accordion apprentice.
That's actually true. Like, they fell on hard times and the lady said, hey,
really?
Come on in and you can board with me and learn accordion full time. And her parents said, okay.
You can stay here.
Once the girl moved in, Violet kept on telling the parents, you can't come over because she'll lose her touch. If you come over, she'll lose all her accordion practice abilities and you just screwed the career.
She has a gift.
Accordion must be practiced in complete solitude.
It's really a meditation.
Now, when the police were like, are you sure she tied herself up? She goes, okay, no. Well, she was super violent.
You got me.
She was super violent towards herself. Like, I don't know, maybe she really hated the accordion. So I had to tie her up to stop her from hurting herself.
Ah.
Turns out kids not so crazy about learning accordion.
Imagine piano lessons, but you're dorkier. But what was really happening was that she took in the girl and then was basically taking that money, and when the girl was asking for food and other stuff, she'd just tie and gag her to a chair. Be like, this is your punishment. And that day, the girl happened to vomit and choke on it.
Oh. Oh. Wow.
This lady was given a life sentence.
That's fine.
Fair. It's like, torture to the killing.
You can eat once you're an accordion master.
it worked in Kill Bill. Yeah. Not the accordion part. But.
Yeah, no, that's what happened. I think that's all I have for the killing stories. You guys have any teacher stories, school stories?
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you probably the coolest thing I ever saw a teacher do. I was in middle...
Was it like a sweet ollie?
It was better. So I was in middle school, and this teacher was shaped like the Eggman. Like, he was just a big sphere, and he wore his pants with a very big belt that was latched just below his rib cage. And he had this, like, comb-over haircut and these huge, thick glasses and this Mario mustache. And he was just, like, you know...
He had a really goofy voice.
And, like, he was just, like... He was this, like, perfect cartoon character of a teacher. And he would make these really lame jokes and then laugh really hard at them.
Oh,
yeah.
And you both went for the same way.
And you both nailed it. But he was just like super nice and super goofy and like, you know, just he looked like a cartoon character, so he seemed completely harmless. I don't remember what was going on, but one day he stepped out for a minute, and while he was out, these two kids got into a fight, like right in the middle of the classroom, and he came back in and saw the two of them fighting. And he ran up to both of them, grabbed them both by the neck, lifted them both off the ground, and shook them for approximately 5 seconds. And then he stopped and just held them in the air and was just like, you two need to go to the principal's office right now. And I was just like, holy crap. It's like, turns out all that egg shape is muscle.
No, don't you do that with me. So he's more like Kingpin and less like Eggman.
Turns out.
Let's see. I had when I was in middle school, I was in drama. And we had, there was only one male teacher in drama. He was kind of an oddball, but one day, like, somebody hadn't learned all their lines, so he sat everybody down in, like, the stands for the drama classroom, and then started walking around complaining about how kids these days just don't respect their classes, and as he was doing that, he'd pick up chairs and break them on the floor.
Jeez.
It was insane. Afterwards, everybody was like, should we tell anybody? He was missing for a week after that.
Missing?
Like, he wasn't in class for a week after
he
that.
He just walked off into the woods.
Breaking wooden things.
Same school. We used to hang out in the technology room, which was a class, just technology. Welcome.
I remember that.
And it was just like this kind of short, unassuming old man. And we opened the door and he was in there with a lady wearing like a tight red dress making out with her on the table.
Wow.
Like, okay, goodbye.
Well, good for you.
At least it was an adult.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right?
But come on, control your urges.
Good for you, Teach.
I had a teacher in high school that, I mean, it wasn't anything all that bad, but like, speaking of teachers that are doing the bare minimum without getting fired, she was one of the teachers that worked in there were temporary mobile classrooms that were outside of the regular school. They were like on the opposite end of the parking lot.
Yeah.
And it was in one of those, and like, she had basically been in that classroom for like 15 years and had just like never done anything. Like, any mess that accumulated just stayed there forever. And she would give out assignments and then we would do them and we'd hand them in and then we would never get them back. And then the only thing we ever got back that was graded was tests, which were usually Scantron. So she just run them through the machine. And I started to suspect after a while that she was just like basically giving us grades on how much she liked us. And so one day while I was sitting there, I reached over to one of the tottering piles of paper that were accumulated all around her desk and just like randomly.
It sounds like she was a hoarder.
Yeah. And just randomly pulled out a piece of paper. And it was a piece of homework from 5 years ago that did not have a grade on it. So she just liked to collect paper pretty much. And the school seemed to think that was just fine.
And here's the thing is once you get tenure, so when I was working as a janitor, one day when I got to work, I saw one of the teachers being escorted out by the principal, the vice principal, and another janitor. Turns out she was drunk as a skunk teaching first grade.
Oh, wow.
But she had tenure.
That's the dream.
And seeing as how not only does she have tenure, but they don't want a scandal to get out, she got 3 months paid leave and then came back as though nothing happened.
Wow.
Nice little vacation.
Like, once those teachers get tenure, which only takes you, like, 3 to 4 years, it's really hard to get rid of them.
Really? That's pretty fast.
Well, yeah. Especially when they do, like, Sean's teacher and they start, like, nesting in their mobile. Yeah.
All this stuff is stuck together with bile.
Get in there and try and chase him out with a broom.
He's going to have to fumigate.
Most of my teacher's stories are just about what a bad student I was, which isn't very exciting. I went to a school in a pretty conservative religious area. It was a public school, but the teachers pretty much had free rein to be as Bible thumping as they wanted to. And the most aggressive in that direction of our teachers, he actually taught world religions, which was hilarious. You can imagine where his focus was. But yeah. He would put on movies about like the Passion of the Christ and stuff. And then he would single out students he knew were not Christian. And he would say, "You need to pay close attention to this. You should sit in the front of the class."
Okay.
It was pretty bad.
See, I had a teacher in sixth grade, and I'd like to point out the audacity of her parents, because her name was Susan Perrier.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, okay.
I was reading Magic the Gathering novels, and finally the thing that got her was I was reading Stephen King's It, when all the other kids were reading Goosebumps and shit, and she called in my parents, and she had confiscated the book. She brought up, she's like, "Your son is reading satanic books."
Suddenly Andy's too good for Goosebumps.
No, nobody's too good for Goosebumps. And she also made a point of pointing out to us that the Eagles song Hotel California was about going to hell and liking it.
Wow.
Adam, you've got to have like a bad teacher story.
I mean, we had Mr. Marchuk. I mean, but you have more stories about him than I do.
Adam and I had the same history teacher in junior year of high school.
I don't remember. It might have been.
This man was less interested in teaching you history than he was about,
I don't know, wasting paper?
Yeah, teaching you everything around history?
Yeah.
Like, what was the assignment he always had us do? It was like, you had like a one, it was like a topic or like a point in time or something, and you had to write who, what, when, where, why, and how about like a whole page of terms, and then each of those had to be a page, a piece.
Going off your story about favorites, Sean, this man obviously had favorites. Yeah. Like, he'd single out people that he loved, and they got by with nothing, and people that he didn't like or he thought were difficult students, he'd pile extra work on you. So for the final, you had to show up with, like, 6 pages of notes to write your final base, and it was, you had to link history to something else. And because I was a huge weeb, I chose anime. Yeah,
sure.
So I came up with all these stuff, and he looked at my notes and said, this isn't good enough. You fail history. You'll have to take it again next year.
Is that when you walked out into the hallway?
I started arguing with him. He said, go out in the hallway. And then I headbutted a locker.
Good problem solving.
Because that's the obvious thing you should do.
Better than rat poison.
Yeah.
You solved my puzzle. Yes.
But the thing that was frustrating was, like, I was one of the last people he got to. And, like, his favorite students only had 1 to 2 pages of notes. He was like, oh, good job.
I mean, I don't remember having too many problems with him personally, but it was just a pain in the ass class.
Then he came out and was like, well, you're going to fail. And I was like, okay, I'm going to call my parents. He goes, wait, no, you can go write your paper in my office.
I remember me and my neighbor who was also in the same class. Like, we had a ritual burning of all the pages of notes we had taken in that class.
But I just remembered one of the craziest stories I had when it was middle school. It was the last day of 8th grade. So we were going home for the summer. I got on the bus with all the other students, and I don't know how this got started, but all the students just started taking all the papers out of their backpacks and just throwing them on the bus and out the window. So it was just like, they were just like going crazy all of a sudden. And the bus driver was like, you need to stop doing that. You need to stop. And no one was stopping. They were just throwing it all out the window. So the bus driver decided he was just going to get rid of us as fast as possible. So he was going like 65 miles an hour through these neighborhoods, trying to get people home.
Streaming pages.
Yeah. And like, we went around a corner so fast that the school bus went up on 2 wheels and then slammed back down. And that finally calmed everybody down. But luckily my stop was the very next stop. So I got off then. And then, yeah, they rocketed off into the distance, spewing paper behind them.
It's crazy.
And when Sean says his stop is the very next stop, man, his stop was 80 miles in the opposite direction.
Oh no, this was in middle school when I was in Arizona. Yeah, okay. So it was not my 2.5 hour bus ride that I had in high school.
Like I used to love the story about Sean having to get to school. It's like, well, I have to wake up at 3.
No. I had it the easy way because mine was the last stop. So going home.
Wait, so other kids?
Yeah. Yeah. So going home, I had a 2.5 hour bus ride home, but on the way to school, I just got on the bus, went straight to school. But the people that had the first stop, yeah, they had to get up at about 3 or 4 to make it to the bus stop. So
Sean, you monster.
Yeah. You know, what was great is that in the morning, they always went the same direction because, you know, the students didn't know when the bus was coming. So they just went out there. But sometimes going home, people would petition to go the route backwards. And I was always the hardest one for that. So every once in a while, I was last one on and first one off. But yeah.
Our bus drivers never took petitions.
I do remember once in second grade, it was like a 2 teachers, like a team teaching thing. And they had kept me like from going to recess to talk to me about something. I don't remember.
Keep exposing yourself, Adam.
But as they had let me go to go out to recess... So they're behind me and I'm walking towards the door. They stop me and they accuse me of smiling and keep me in from the rest of recess.
We'll have no happiness here.
Did I hear a smile?
Oh, cool. Okay, smiley. If that's the way it's going
to
be.
Happy about going to recess, huh?
School is no place for joy.
Yeah, those two were a treat.
That was actually my second grade experience, too. I went to Catholic school, 1st through 3rd grade. And my second grade teacher believed it was her job to change us from children to adults. Like the fun time was over and it was time to get serious.
And she succeeded.
Kelly's been an adult. She grew into an adult in second grade.
It was pretty amazing.
But she thought I was an idiot. I was in the remedial reading class because I never knew what page we were on or what paragraph we were on. And I was always staring off into space. And then... I guess one day I asked a question about the text that was a little bit above my grade level, and they actually decided to test my reading and move me from the bottom to the top. But through high school, I still never knew what page we were on because I'd usually, my older brother would always give me his school book, so I'd always have read them 4 years earlier. So I was just staring out the window.
Boring.
Flowers for Algernon, more like flowers for Borgenon.
I'm not saying they weren't good books. It's just, have you ever done popcorn reading?
Yes.
It's awful. What is that? It's the most painful thing. You have to put yourself in a trance to survive it.
What is popcorn reading? It sounds like you're just making a mess of the books.
Popcorn reading is when you read a text aloud and it just, like, usually the teacher will say popcorn and then call on another student. And so it just like jumps from paragraph to paragraph, from student to student, and everyone reads aloud. But they always choose the students who can't read aloud. So they just sound it out through the text, and it's just excruciating.
See, my best popcorn reading experience was Huckleberry Finn.
Oh, no, no, don't read that one aloud.
Because nobody could say that word.
Fair.
You'd get to it and be like,
how fast can children censor themselves?
So now it's time for what are your morals worth? How much would I have to pay you to lock a human being in a supply closet overnight?
Does he have food and water in there?
No, no food, no water.
Is there a built-in toilet?
There's no toilet.
So let's see. My immediate concern is the repercussions. Like, what happens once he gets out of the cabinet?
That's what students are so bad at.
Apparently nothing. Okay.
Well, if nothing happens,
he's gonna go buy two knives. Oh. All right.
As long as it's not like me, because if you locked me in a cabinet overnight, I would die.
Yeah. Would.
But as long as they're gonna be okay and just be uncomfortable and maybe come out a little more poopy than they went in. What? Oh man. So so someone's standing in front of a cabinet and somebody nudges me and says, "I will give you blank to go shove that guy right now."
I will, and they have the money on them. On him.
I will give you $1 million to do this. Don't ask me how I got it.
No question, sir.
But I want you to imagine that this is the sad chemistry teacher with the comb over that is constantly stroking his iguana, like he has an iguana in the classroom.
Has he slighted me in some way?
No.
No?
This guy.
But he won't fight you. That's big.
All right. I'm going to say $200.
What?
It's just one
he'll
night.
He'll be fine. He'll have a funny story to tell.
To the cops.
Well, this is again, if
the cops will be like,
there's no repercussions.
Funny story. Yeah, no repercussions. My price is going to be kind of low, kind of like Sean's.
Plus, that's a conceivable amount of someone to have in their pocket.
Yes. Any more than that, I might not believe them.
Oh, didn't I tell you go to millionaire school?
But I don't think I could fit $1 million in my pants.
Andy, push that man into that closet.
He pops up a briefcase full of gold.
Hurry, I'm going to burn a $100 bill every second you don't.
Clock's ticking.
Tick tock.
I'll just say 300 to make me seem slightly better than Sean.
Well, because I know I'm supposed to participate, and assuming we go by the laws that Kelly is also locked in the room until she does whatever the evil act is, I would do it for $100,000.
$100,000?
You're going to make someone sad.
Yeah,
that's like the worst thing. I hate making people sad.
You can't put a price on sadness.
Like, you can hear him. He's like, oh, no, I'm in the cabinet. This will surely disrupt my day.
Because I think if you gave me, you know, a bag of candy and a tube of insulin, I think you could lock me in a cabinet overnight for $100. So I think, $200.
Yeah, I mean, as long as I'm not going to die in the cabinet, I'd be pretty irritated. Yeah. But
I would also give the money to the teacher.
All of it?
Yes.
Here's your $100,000, sir. Oh, thank you for the money.
Here's your $50,000. That's all he gave me.
Here's $5.
I did it for $5. I'm a monster.
Andy, we need your number.
Oh, see, I'm also a fair. If we're just shoving a guy in a cabinet, like $150.
Ooh, lowering the bar.
Hey, Andy's the worst.
Look, and I know there's not going to be any repercussions, and I can buy him lunch.
Pretty nice lunch for $150.
Like, every time we do this, I'm tempted to just say a lot of money, because I need a lot of money.
A meatball sub. That's what I'll get him.
Yeah.
A meatball sub. That's what I'll do it for.
I just happen to have a meatball sub right here.
Old Mr. Jenkins is going in that cabinet. Do I smell meatball? Oh, no.
I love a meatball sub.
I need to stay away from the supply cabinet. It happens every day. Alrighty, well, I think that'll do it for another episode of Acid Pop.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
Welcome to another episode of Soda Pop.
Close.
Do you have a preferred start to this?
Well, it's Acid Pop, but...
Oh, damn it. Welcome to Soda Pop, kids. Today we're talking about RC Cola. Is it cool?